Hi, and welcome back. We're going to be talking about tatemae, but we're also going to be doing a little bit about slang here. And we're going to be doing this for Little Mike. So, Little Mike, what would you like to know about slang in Japan? We are all ears. Not literally, but we are all ears. Anything specific to do with slang that you would like to know? Well, anyway, we're going to talk about
Hone
to tatemae while we wait to hear from Mike here. Anyway, so first thing we'll talk about with hone to tatemae. Hone refers to one's actual thoughts. Tatemae, while some people would call it lying, I wouldn't call it lying. It's what is socially acceptable to say in a situation that would not cause confrontation.
Yes. So I think it's referred to as giri, the social aspects, the social norms of Japan. With so many people living on an island together, avoiding conflict is really important, and it's something that's always been part of Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to avoid conflicts as much as they can so they don't have to have so much trouble. So
right.
they created hone and tatemae.
Right. So, and it works well if you're Japanese and you understand how the system works, but if you're a foreigner coming in, sometimes it can be a little bit much.
Yeah, a lot of people when they first come to Japan and they don't know much about it, they would call this Japanese people being two-faced.
Yes.
Yeah. You hear that a lot.
Yes.
Japanese people being two-faced, where they have harmony within the workplace, but then outside of the workplace, they can say their true feelings. They can really express themselves.
Right. I keep forgetting the name of the guy who created this, but there's a Japanese philosopher that says that every person wears three masks.
Ooh.
The first mask is the mask that they show to everybody out in society.
Yes.
The second mask is the mask they only show to close family and friends.
Okay. Anyways,
and the third mask is the mask that nobody ever sees.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before a couple times. Definitely a Japanese way of thinking about things,
right.
Yeah.
So that the 100% hone is the third mask that nobody ever sees.
Yeah. Yeah. When you live in Japan for a while, you definitely come to realize that there are certain social aspects and social norms that you do need to abide by, especially within the senpai system and mm-hmm. the business world.
Yep. So, like, one of the major things, like, if you were to cook food, no matter how horribly you butchered it, a Japanese person would eat it and say it was amazing.
Yeah, I remember seeing something in a magazine, Japanese magazine, about being polite in Japan, and how when you say, you know, it's tasty, it's oishi, it shows the thought process behind someone thinking, is it really tasty, are they just saying that, mm-hmm. and how it's just such a long, drawn-out process.
Right, because usually if you ask somebody and they say oishi, but they only say oishi, that either means that they didn't like it, it is normal, and like without any extra added flavors or anything to it, or it is, what is it, something that they probably wouldn't normally choose.
Right, yeah. And that's actually something that living with a Japanese family, I've gotten a little bit of kind of pushback. So I always say, just, oh, oishikata, it's very delicious. But then I always get sometimes, you know, especially when my wife cooks, that my mother-in-law will hit me in the ribs and say, say this is delicious. Say it's really good. I really enjoyed this part. Say it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something to show that when you first bite into something, show your appreciation for, like, even if it's horrible, bite in and say, oh my gosh, this is lovely, and just keep praising it the whole time that you're eating it.
Right. So, right, but same thing with my family as well, with my wife and my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Yeah. And,
see, it's all the same, all in Japan.
Right, right. So, I'm not going to lie. There are certain dishes that my like mother-in-law will make or my wife will make that are absolutely amazing.
Mm.
And usually you say a little bit more than just oishi when that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just oishikata. Mm-hmm. You kind of, after living here a while, you kind of do pick up on it, like, oishi. Oishikata. Yeah. Oh, tsubarashi. So,
yeah,
like that. You definitely pick up on it.
Definitely. So, usually, and this is the... So, you have the hone and tatemae. If you are at work or a place of business, there is never any hone, ever. At any time, you will never see it. It does not exist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Definitely. I mean, if you're working for a Western company, of course, you'll see that here in Japan. You know, Citibank or anything like that. Any of those that deal with more foreigners, there's more of that. But within anything else in Japan, the schooling system or banks or anything else, yeah, it's always tatemae. It's never anything else.
It's more along the lines of like, so like we're both teachers, right? So go to a school, we have our teacher that we're teaching with in this class, and they're like, think of an activity. And they'll say that to you. Then you go to the teacher and say, hey, look, I've got this, this, and this. The timetable's all set out. I got everything all ready to go. Everything looks great. It's fantastic. They're like, yeah, it looks really great. This looks like a really awesome activity. So can we do it? I don't know if we're going to have time. Might not be enough time for it.
Yeah, and there's something you always get in Japan, the soft no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that means that they didn't like the activity.
Yep.
That means that that was an emphatic no. That was almost a hell no.
And that's actually something, it's not just in teaching, that's in business as well. Business negotiations. I remember President Bush came to Japan and they were talking with whoever the prime minister at the time was. And the interpreter told President Bush, oh, that might not be something we can do. Which he interpreted as, oh, it's a maybe, all right, let's do that.
Yeah.
And he pushed it when in, you know, the Japanese social context, it was, what the heck are you talking about? No, that's never going
to
happen.
No.
No, speak to the hand.
Yep.
Yeah, like that.
Yep, definitely. So, what is it? So, how this works, it also works in certain social rankings.
Hmm.
Yeah. The higher in social ranking you are, the more hone you can use. The lower you are, the more tatemae you have to use.
Yeah, it kind of links together with the senpai system.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's essentially the senpai system. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. No, like your quote-unquote senpai can basically say anything they want to you without any ramifications. So they can use hone. A lot of times they do still use tatemae because that is the Japanese practice.
Yeah.
But if they were to use hone, then there would be no issue, no problem with it whatsoever. But however, if somebody was kohai, not senpai, but kohai, and they were to use hone with senpai, it would be looked at as being very rude.
Very, very rude, yeah.
Even if it was something that was with good intention, it would still be looked at as being very rude.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, using hone when you're supposed to use tatemae, there can be, of course, ramifications. I mean, if you speak ill to your senpai, there's be ostracized from the group or be left
class,
out of everything. Yeah, just
school.
Yeah,
the entire work community.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's something to definitely be aware of when you're in Japan.
Right. If you are at work and one day there is nobody talks to you for an entire 8 hours, you screwed up somewhere.
Something, yeah.
You need to go back and figure out where you screwed up, apologize profusely, and then wait the 3 months for everybody to get over it.
If they ever do get over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because it can be longer than 3 months, especially if it was a continuation of the same screw-up.
Yeah. Yeah, Japanese people tend to, they can hold a grudge, definitely, if you're not, if you...
No. Do.
Well, yeah. But they can hold a long grudge if you're not careful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, you could dig yourself into a hole that you can never get out of.
Yeah, and I think this is something that a lot of foreigners do get in trouble with.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I do think that the Japanese give foreigners a little bit of leeway, but especially when they're here...
A little bit.
Yeah, especially when they're here for, you know, right away, but people like me and you have been here more than
year. The other thing is that we both have a Japanese wife. And because we have a Japanese wife, their automatic assumption is that your wife should have told you.
Yeah. Yeah, Japanese wife, Japanese in-laws, part of the Japanese community we live in, so...
Yep.
Yeah. It kind of gets pushed on you, and you realize very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because, like, there'll be events that go on, like, within your work group. If you are being, quote-unquote, ostracized, everybody will be going to an event, and they'll talk about it, but they'll have never invited you to go with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Right. Or if in mid-conversation, someone has to politely, while smiling big, excuse themselves because they're really busy. Yeah, they are, you are in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting to think about daily life and daily work life and talk about all this.
To make it so it doesn't sound mean... Because this is actually going to sound rather mean, but think of it as a lot like everybody is in eighth grade and they're popular kids. Everybody is in eighth grade and they're popular kids. How do popular kids ostracize other popular kids?
Kick them out. Do they just...
And say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just too busy. Can't really hang out right now.
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe we could pencil some time in the future. Oh, yeah, is your schedule open? Well, I'm really busy right now. I can't talk right now. I have to go.
Yeah, let's see. It's 2018 now. I'm free in 2040. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Give or take 20 years or so.
Give or take until the time I die, sure.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's... We joke around about how this system works, but that's pretty darn close.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and in business, the consequences are not just ostracization, but not demotions, but being put into positions that aren't exactly...
Fulfilling?
Yeah. So I think a good example of this is someone who screws up in their work, they don't get fired because...
Labor laws basically have protections against that.
So what they'll do is they'll stick you in a closet and give you stamps to lick all day instead.
Yep.
Instead of
actual work.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens. I mean, it's not a punishment really, but for retirees who they come back into their positions after they retire, they come back and they're the secretary or they hand out mail.
Yep.
Pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Right. I mean, and the other thing is like, while you're doing that job, you're usually separated from everybody else, in which, in a Japanese company, everybody is all together in the same room, basically round table. There is no such thing as a cubicle in Japan.
That's, yeah.
Have you ever seen a cubicle in an office building?
Well, I can't. I haven't been to many office buildings, but I can't think of any because I know all the teachers' offices. It's generally one giant desk for all the teachers, and I know.
Oh, but you have your designated space.
Oh, you have your designated space, but there are no walls.
You better not move out of that designated space either. And heaven forbid you're drinking coffee and a drop falls on someone else's corner of their desk.
You will
be ostracized for at least 6 months.
Yeah, we're joking, but not really.
Not really.
So, yeah. And I know in places like the Canon factories and the Nikon factories, there are no... It's one giant work area. Everyone works together.
Yep.
So that's...
Yep. A lot of like different factory buildings and some large companies, they also have a giant cafeteria, which the workforce will go down and eat in. If you have no one sitting next to you or no one joins you at a table, you're being ostracized.
Yeah. Yeah. And this kind of goes into, so this has to do with the senpai system and honen tatemae. And this is why the ostracization leads into kind of what you always hear about the stress in Japanese working situation and suicide rates. Yeah, exactly. That's, you can see how all different parts of the culture can go into just hammer down on someone, kind of force it into their mind.
Right.
There's no way back.
Because this also feeds into that perception. If you are perceived as being a trustworthy person, then you are a trustworthy person, whether or not you steal money from people on the internet.
Not me.
No, but so if you are a polite person and you have that perceived view as being a polite person, you could stab as many people as you want in the back or behind their back. And you would be perceived as a polite person.
A polite killer. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a part of Japanese culture that takes a while to get used to. And if you don't think you can handle it, Japan might not be a good fit.
Right. The thing is that what you're going to make a mistake.
Of course.
You're
everyone
going
does,
to
yeah.
make a mistake. And you have to understand that Japan doesn't forgive mistakes. And you're going to go through the ostracization process at some point.
Yep.
In a career at some point. Oh, what you? White guys talking about Asian culture. My weeb radar is eating.
I'm a quarter Japanese. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Nah, it's really... That's hilarious, man. It's really hilarious. Now, I've been here 7 years.
10 years.
And I wouldn't consider myself a weeb at all. I'm from the United States. I go back regularly, and I like being from the United States. So,
yeah.
And the thing is, I have my family here. I've got a house, a wife. What is it? Kids, mortgage.
Yeah.
Farm, car loans.
Everything.
Farm. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, it's just the way life is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, while we're on this kind of stuff, why don't we talk about some slang in Japan?
Slang? Oh, definitely.
Yeah, since we're on to weeb and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, the slang in Japan, there's a lot of different...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different hogen and slang and stuff like that.
Right. Usually different regions have different words that they're going to use for that.
Yeah, like where I live, it's called zuzuben. And for drink, we have nomain, or to eat, again, again, things like that. Instead of nonde, tabete, things like that.
Or like in Akita, everyone, like nenene.
Nenene.
Which means... means that I have to go to bed.
Okay, there you go.
So, like, you'll even say that I have to go to bed, or you're talking about your kids, and you say your kids have to go to bed. So you turn to your kid and go, ne, ne, ne. And the kid's like, hi, and then walks away.
Yeah. Some other things, the Kanto dialect, one thing that pretty much everyone in Japan knows is Kanto is one of the hardest dialects,
yep.
I think. The only thing I know from there is o kini, which is thank you, pretty much.
Yeah, Kanto, it's a Kanto. Are you guys talking Kansai?
Is it Kansai?
Kanto is Tokyo region.
Okay, so it's got to be Kansai-ben. Kansai-ben.
Kansai is the like Osaka area.
Yeah.
Kansai. Like everybody, even Japanese people say they can't understand Kansai.
Oh yeah, it's
like Osaka-ben or any in that area. Like a lot of them say, like it almost seems like a completely different language.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. There's Hogan from everywhere.
I mean,
yeah.
Even where we're at in Miyagi, there's Miyagi-ben.
Yeah, and even within Miyagi, there's different dialects as well.
Yeah, one of the most common ones is actually Obandes.
Obandes. Yes.
Yeah, and they say it's from Miyagi, but there's a lot of other areas in Tohoku that use it at the same time.
Yeah, Oban, Oha.
Oha, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of the ones you use a lot? Or that you like to use?
Nda.
Nda. Yeah, Nda. Yep,
that's Akita Ben.
Oh, is that Akita?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like you go anywhere in Akita, and instead of saying, you know, like in standard Japanese, where you have to say ne at the end of a sentence, like saying right, in Akita Ben it's Nda.
Nda. Wow, okay. I thought that was Miyagi.
No. Oh,
wow. Nda.
But like quite literally, you go anywhere, all you hear is "nda" everywhere. Like people, when they instead of saying "nay," it's like "nda, nda, nda."
Yeah.
Like my father-in-law, thick Akita Ben, like thick Akita accent. It's been a long 4 years, and technically five. We've been dating 6 years now. Well, we've known each other for 6 years, been married for 4 years,
right.
And I've known her father throughout that period. And I still have a hard time understanding him.
yeah. It's...
One of my favorites, Undabai.
Undabai?
Undabai.
Undabai. Let's see.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Whatever. Interesting.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite ones.
Let's see. One of the ones I use a lot is Izui.
Izui?
Yep, Izui. It just... Izui. It doesn't fit right. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Oh, actually, contextually, dochi demo ii?
Yeah.
Do demo ii? Do demo ii is basically saying, I don't care.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you say do demo ii to somebody, like, do demo ii basically means you can pick anyone you want. So it's either is okay. But if you say that in the context of saying, like... If your wife comes to you and say, which dress looks nice, the pink dress or the green dress? And you go, do demui. If you say that, even if you say that in like a kind, like, do demui, yo, like that, like in a kind setting and whatnot, it's automatically perceived as being like a slap in the face.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
And it doesn't matter any variation, whether you're using the polite form or the impolite form. Like impolite form, any way you say it basically is a slap in the face.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
I found that out when my wife got angry with me. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm just saying do double e. She's like, that's really rude. And I'm like, I meant it in its grammatical form, like it's actual syntactic form without any context. And she's like, Oh, okay.
Yeah. Japan's a wonderful place with a lot of different slang, and it would be a challenge to learn any one of them, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, there are certain ones that are I don't want to say more intelligible, but more intelligible than other ones. Like this group can speak with this group very well, but. There are some that are very, very difficult.
Right. Yeah, I think So Kansai is probably one of the most difficult. Another one that's pretty difficult seems to be the Okinawan.
Yeah.
Okinawan is just completely different.
Hey, have you ever watched like variety shows on TV? And you see like there's a show like Homma Dekka.
Right.
And Homma Dekka is actually Osaka Ben.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like that Homma Dekka. Madeka.
Right.
is a part of Osaka Ben.
Interesting.
And the funny thing about it is like they have like the subtitles underneath mm-hmm. that they write in Japanese, and every now and then, like you'll have like Sanma will say something in thick Osaka Ben, and then right. they'll have like the standard Japanese written underneath.
Yeah, and that's something I want to bring up. A lot of people when they come to Japan, they notice that there's subtitles under everything, and a lot of people say it's racist even when foreigners are speaking perfect Japanese.
Yeah.
It's not because no one can understand the Japanese. Everyone gets subtitles. It's because of the dialects. They need to have standard Japanese so people who don't know the dialects can understand what they're saying. It's not anything yeah. against a slight about any against anyone.
Right. And I mean, like, there'll be certain times that you'll see like the actual dialect written out, and then there'll be a little parenthesis above it that gives like the standard Japanese yeah, what yeah, I'm yeah. talking about.
Yep.
Or you'll see someone that's speaking so fluently in that dialect that they don't know exactly what they're saying, and they just have symbols.
Yeah, they just have the symbols and the question marks, and yeah, that's always funny to watch.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Anything? Any other?
Like slang bits?
Yeah, slang or funny sayings you like to... The only thing I can think of right now is kari peko peko, mi peko peko, wasa tepeko, mu peko peko. The tongue twisters.
Tongue twisters? Yeah, or what is it, the... Gasu basu bakuhatsu?
What is it? Oh, you're going to give me...
Basu gasu bakuhatsu.
Something like that, yeah.
Or what is it, momo no uchi?
Yeah. There's so many. Yeah, the Hayakichi Kotoba, the tongue twisters in Japanese.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to study because you'll learn a lot.
Oh, definitely.
It's super difficult as well. Yeah. Anything else you can think of?
Not really, but going back to tatemae.
Yes.
Which is our main topic with this year. It's definitely something to watch out for, and make sure that when you word... when you're constructing your sentences in Japanese, that you're softening the blow of everything that you're going to say, because the more straightforward something sounds, the more hone it seems.
Yeah, the roundabout way of saying everything. Yeah,
exactly.
Everything in Japan is round. Well, we got a chime.
All right. We should probably stop here for today.
Yep,
I think we're going to be done for today. I want to thank everybody for coming out.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Everybody in chat for giving us some great information. It is noon now, so
yep.
We will talk to you later. And you can catch us on Twitter and Facebook. We also have Discord. I'll be adding that information later. And we are the 4T Podcast, and we will talk to you later.
See you.
Bye-bye.